Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Salty Pastor Podcast, a podcast designed to coach you up in your faith. Our goal is to give you an accurate, unvarnished biblical truth so you can think for yourself. My name is Jesse Mayer. I'll be your host. And the more you know, the more you can grow. And we can't do that without the one, the only, the Salty Pastor himself, Dr. Douglas Peake.
Hey, everybody. So good to be with you today as we continue on in our study of the scriptures and applying it to everyday situations. We're so glad that you are a part of the Salty Pastor podcast. We like to call those who join us each week the Salty Crew. So we're helping you think for yourself, go out and be the salt and light of the world. Help us grow this podcast. Help us grow its reach by liking and subscribing. Liking and subscribing. Just go to the YouTube channel called The Salty Pastor, like and subscribe. Even if you don't watch it on YouTube, go there real quick and you can like and subscribe, give it a thumbs up. Also, if you are listening to it on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. If you listen to it on Spotify or anything else, give it a thumbs up. And what this does is it just kind of builds the algorithm over time and it starts to share it. So that's what we're trying to do. We're glad you are with us. If you'd like to financially support what we're doing here, you can go to foothills.org, and then at the top there's a tab called Give. Click on that, and then you can say where you want it to go. Choose the Salty Pastor. So glad you're with us. Glad you're joining and building this ministry with us.
Absolutely. And we are continuing our honest conversation on mental health, and we're continuing our conversation from Tuesday on one that I think is maybe not always associated as a mental health struggle, but that of stress and burnout.
Yeah, we kind of studied that story of Elijah in 1 Kings,
yep,
chapter 18 and 19, and we saw that he had this, he worked really hard and had this great victory, right? But then right after that, he kind of exhibited the signs of burnout, you might say, and how God then kind of ministered to him. And I think that it's really important for us to understand how burnout is a real thing. It's a result of ongoing stress. And what happens is it's a result oftentimes that surrounds our job, our career, our work. Like Elijah, his job was being a prophet of God, and he was doing this, and he experienced burnout, which means a lot of times you can be doing ministry, whether you're in the ministry full-time or you're a person who's doing your ministry. You should expect that it's going to be stressful at times. You should expect that you might even suffer burnout if you're not careful. So burnout is real. And so burnout, you know you're getting burned out when you start to exhibit signs of extreme fatigue. You know, you go to bed tired and you wake up tired. You know that you're experiencing burnout when you have a feeling of numbness emotionally, that you're really kind of, you're not up or down. You just don't really feel depression. Generally, burnout is associated with depression. Now, we're going to separate it out because in the ensuing week, we're going to be looking right at depression.
Right.
But let's not, you know, forget that these things are intimately linked. According to WebMD, you know you're suffering burnout, particularly in your job, when you're cynical and more negative than you normally are. When the most common emotions you feel are anger or sadness, you can be burned out. When you're becoming increasingly, I guess I like the word cynical. You know, you don't have any optimistic feelings or emotions or,
right,
or dreams. You're easily annoyed. You get angry, your fuse gets really short, little things set you off. You know that you're in burnout when in your job you feel like what you're doing is worthless, you feel you're useless, what you're doing makes no difference. You can also be experiencing burnout if you're thirsty a lot or your vision starts to get blurred. So if you're thinking, oh, my eyes are going bad, that could be it. Now, according to Health by ADA, do you know what ADA is? ADA is the new medical AI.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
According to Health by ADA, and so, which is strange for us, if you live in Boise, it's strange because the name of the county that we live in is ADA, which is ADA. You know, so the ADA is the new medical AI. Got a whole lot of A's floating around there. That's going to confuse me. According to ADA, anxiety, headaches, lack of sleep, and fatigue are the main signs of burnout. Finally, an increase, according to ADA, increasingly cynical outlook on life and work. So this is what burnout is, and it's a real thing, and I think we need to be aware that we can fall into it even when we're doing really good things.
Absolutely. And, I mean, do we see anything as far as, like, any specific – what am I thinking of? I mean, I think what you've brought forward are things that are relatively assuming by themselves, mm-hmm. right? Like, you look at someone and you're like, you know, oh, they're just feeling a little angry or sad. And it's like, okay, they're just having a bad day, right?
Right.
Or they're easily annoyed or they're a little negative. You know, even the, like, drinking water, right? Or whatever. Like, they're being
thirsty
dehydrated.
All the time.
It's like, you don't really tie those to stress or burnout, but what you start to see is as you put these together, similar to the week we talked about suicide, it's not just that one of those exists, it's when they start all piling up.
Yes.
That those might be some warning signs that you're experiencing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then just keeping track of that. If you are feeling stressed out and starting to head towards burnout, you need to be looking out for warning signs like this so that you're not going too far, right? We talked about on Tuesday, some stress is good for you.
Yeah, sometimes if you stress yourself, you'll get thirsty.
Yeah.
Right?
Prolonged stress is the one where
we're... But if you're always thirsty,
right.
Oh, that might be a sign.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think understanding that there is positive stress, you know, we think about workout, like you're stressing your body for a set of period of time to cause it to grow.
Yeah. A tough project at work.
Yeah,
you gotta
mentally
push through.
You're learning something new or whatever.
Yes.
Like, those things are good. It's prolonged, ongoing, never-ending stress that can lead to that burnout. So, I mean, why is it that people believe all stress, even just being slightly pushed outside your comfort zone, is bad? Like, let's talk about that. Like, we are talking about stress and burnout, and stress does typically have a pretty negative connotation these days.
Yes.
It's not seen as something that could help you potentially grow. It's just seen as, if you have any stress, if you're not just, like, fully at peace all the time, then you're probably doing something wrong and you need to change it right now.
Yeah, and I think that part of the reason why that is because of the way, particularly the last two generations have been taught in school, and that is, so they're basically, our society is training people that way, and it's not developing strength within people.
Mm.
The most significant part of growing up into an adult is being able to recognize stress and then learn how to deal with it and then choose to put yourself under stress at various times.
Mm.
You know, you only grow when you choose to do something hard, when you choose to push yourself, right? You take a job you're not sure you can do, but you're going to learn how to do it. You sign up for a college course, right, that pushes you to stretch yourself and work harder than you ever did before. You take on a responsibility that you never had before. All those things cause stress, but that's a stress that's good for you. Now, the downside is if you ignore ongoing stress, you take on a job that is just so stressful, it's just stressing you out day after day after day, it can lead to burnout. And so let me illustrate it this way. Our society is constantly telling children to follow their dreams, pursue their passion. Never give up on your dream, they say to kids. But unfortunately, children, as children are wont to do, they interpret this as, I should only do what I want or like to do, right? The conclusion is then, as they become young adults, is, well, since I don't like this, I'm not going to do it, because it's not my dream. Therefore, they perceive anything that they don't like as negative stress. So if I don't like it, I'm stressed. No, you just don't like it, okay?
Right.
That's not what real stress is. Real stress is your reaction to things, doing things that you don't like on a consistent basis. So the best way to deal with stress initially, particularly when you're young, is to grow stronger as a person. That's the best way to deal with stress in your life initially, okay? Now, in past generations, people called this, you need to learn to be unflappable. You need to learn how to keep your cool. Don't let things get to you or get under your skin. Now, the stronger you become when you're younger, the stronger you become, then you are less stressed out about things in life. And guess what? Then you are capable of identifying pronounced, real, ongoing stress. Since you've put yourself in, oh, okay, I signed up for this class, right? It's, you know, I signed up for calculus, and I'm not good at math, and you struggle through it, and you get a C, and it was miserable, you know, but you go, was that really that stressful? You know, I mean, it was hard. I had to work harder. I had to do that, you know, I got a C. I'm not happy with that. I didn't get A's, but was that real stress as opposed to something that's, you know, exhausting you emotionally or physically or spiritually or something that is so intense? Well, because you did that and you put yourself under that lesser stressful situation, now when something that's real stress, right, over a long period of time is easier to identify.
Right.
Because you have what is called the law of contrast. Mm. You can contrast it. So you have experience. Okay, so that's the first thing of why you should grow stronger in dealing with stress, because it helps you recognize real stress later on in life, okay? Now, the stronger you become, the less stress you experience, and the more you see what real stress is. So, the phrase I use, Chicken Little ran around saying the sky is falling so much that when the sky actually started falling, he couldn't see it because he saw it where it wasn't existing. So once you're able to discern the difference between the two, on the one hand, I'm doing really hard things to challenge myself to grow, and doing things that create ongoing stress that leads to burnout in your life, that's when you can learn to manage your stress appropriately. So you have to be able to discern what real stress, ongoing stress is. But you can't do that unless you have challenged yourself and put yourself under stressful situations that grow you. So until you can discern the difference between the two, it's really hard to know.
Yeah, I think what the best analogy I can come up with is kind of in this book that I'm reading with my men's group right now. And that's this guy's talking about the limits he had to push himself to when he was in the military, right? Mm-hmm. They intentionally push you to your max in the military so that you know where your limits are, because as a whole, as a society, as a people, we don't want to ever go to our maximum limit. We'll always go, well, that was enough pull-ups.
Yeah.
Could I have done 3-4 more if I really pushed? Probably, but I don't want to, right?
Right.
But you don't ever, like, you're very rarely put in a situation where you can actually find out what your limit is, right? Or
correct.
where you start seeing those, like, this is the outer edge of my limitations, right? And so by experiencing stress, by not always going around and saying, well, anytime I don't like something or anytime something is hard, I'm just going to run away, you never know how far you really can go, right? Like, you never know, well, maybe I could have finished that race. Maybe I could do this thing. Yeah. Maybe I should do this thing, right? Because it's always been, well, as soon as it starts getting hard, I'm out, right?
And now you're less capable of dealing with any stress.
Yeah. And then when you are put under pressure, you are going to buckle much quicker because you don't know what you can, and you haven't trained your body, your mind, your spirit to endure any of that, right? Obviously, there are limits, right? And we are saying don't just go out and push yourself all the way until you burn out and explode, but you need to kind of build some resistance in your body naturally. Same thing with getting exposed to different, like, illnesses, right? Like, your body builds up a natural immunity,
correct.
Right? Like, this idea of, well, I never let my kid eat, you know, like, I've heard examples of, you know, with your first kid, you're really good about making sure no dirt's on anything, and by
your third or fourth,
and I've heard that there's research that says it's actually good for them to, like, have a little bit of, like, crap, you know, dirt and whatever, because it just exposes them to stuff that makes their immune systems better.
Yes.
And they tend to get sick less, right? And so there's that idea of, like, exposure to small amounts. I mean, that's the whole idea of, like, immunization, isn't it? You're getting exposed a little bit to the virus.
Yes, a weakened form.
That you're trying to do so that when you actually encounter it, you have a better resistance.
Yeah.
Stress can be dealt with in the same way. You get smaller versions so that when the big thing comes, you know how to deal with it and how severe it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's interesting. You can't grow stronger, you know, to deal with stress unless you answer the most important questions about your life. You know, because really, if you're stressed out by little tiny things, then when you get to the most important parts of what make life meaningful, you can't even answer those questions. So answer those questions about your life. Why am I here? What's the point and purpose of my life? Number two, you can't learn to deal with stress appropriately if you don't have a mission or purpose in your life. Otherwise, everything is unpleasant. Everything small, that's an inconvenience, becomes overly stressful. The pursuit of just being happy is a painful taskmaster, you know, because being happy is an emotion. It's so fickle, right?
Now, happiness and joy. Rapidly.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh my goodness, what a painful taskmaster that is. Because that emotion of pure, of like happiness, wow, I'm so happy right now, is such a fleeting emotion. And right. So you're going to say, well, since I'm never actually technically feeling that emotion, then that means I must be an unhappy person. Well, that's kind of ridiculous. Right. So the thing is grow stronger by answering the most important questions of your life. Deal with the point and purpose of your life. And once your life is driven by purpose, dealing with stress becomes a process of reading the signs. Right. Like you were saying, is like, how do I know my limits? Well, you know, if your purpose is to get in shape and discover your limits, are you going to do the extra 3 push-ups or not?
Right.
You will, right? Because you're trying to figure out what your limit is. But if that's the point and purpose, right? So expand that to your whole life. And you're saying, in my whole life, I want to understand what my limitations are spiritually and emotionally and intellectually. And so I even physically, that all of these things help me grow. And then when I'm in another situation that it's like, okay, no big deal. You know, it's not a big deal. We'll take care of it. So you have to look for the physical signs, the emotional signs, and the spiritual signs. And then what you do is you make the appropriate adjustments, mm-hmm. right? Especially if it's in a long-term
right.
situation.
Finding the balance.
For instance, sometimes I don't feel – my energy level is dropping, right? Now, for me, my energy level will drop for one of two reasons, okay? And this is what's really interesting. One reason is because I'm exhausted. I've been going. I've been pushing my energy level. I wake up tired, and I'm tired all day long. And people are like, you know, my wife, people call, man, Dad, you need to take a break because you're tired. But you know what else is interesting is I also feel that way when I'm not working out or I'm not exercising, right? After 2 or 3 days, my energy level drops.
Okay.
Right? So isn't that interesting? So on the one hand, it can be because you're doing too much, but on the other hand, it could be because I'm doing too little.
Right.
And so I'm learning that balance. Well, it's the same thing with all the other stress in my life, whether it could be emotional stress. Now, emotional stress is much harder for guys, right, to gauge and to watch and make appropriate adjustments. And the reason why is because the relationship that men have with their emotions is so different than the relationship women have with their emotions.
Right.
And one of the most difficult things is that women, you know, if I may be salty with you ladies, is that one of your biggest mistakes that you make with the men in your life is you expect them to deal with their emotions the way women deal with their emotions.
And well, and the vice versa, right? Sometimes yeah. I'm learning as a husband.
There you go.
Sometimes my wife says something and I want to say, well, why is that a big, like, why is this such an emotional response, right?
So what?
Yeah. And I'm learning, oh, she's handling this situation very different than I choose to and or am wired to handle, right?
Yep.
So it's not even just one way or the other. It's we innately handle emotions differently. And I, you know, some of the best comedians hit on this when they talk about guys going like, well, just get over it, right? Like, what's the big deal? Ladies doing the opposite where they're like, you just need to be more in touch. And then it's like, why is he a weepy crying mess on my floor? I don't understand what this is anymore.
Well, but that's the benefit of being a little older when you get married, because most guys don't look at it that way.
Right.
They don't go, oh, she deals with her emotions differently than I do. And so I need to understand that. Yeah, usually guys don't get to that point until their late 40s when they've been married
for
25
years. So what you're
saying
is my beard is not just a sign of wisdom. I am actually wise.
There you go. But yeah, I mean, but for guys in general, just even personal regulation of your you know, guys can tell when they're physically worn out.
Mm.
They can tell when they're mentally worn out, you know, but they rarely understand when they are emotionally worn out. Okay. And so you got to look for that, those signs that is happening. Because the end goal in this discussion, everybody, is learning to monitor yourself and make adjustments to avoid burnout. Because if you fall into burnout and you get burned out, it takes a lot more work to get restored. It's a lot more work, you know, as opposed to, you know, taking care and resolving it before you fall into burnout. Because burnout is real, and it's very difficult and time-consuming to reverse its effects.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I alluded to this on Tuesday a little bit, but, like, now more than ever, it's so important to learn how to deal with stress and to recognize it.
Yeah.
Because the world, especially if you're living in mainland America or, you know, some of these larger, more first world countries, it's just go, 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 be more efficient, do more things all the time, right? And so the drift into that level of burnout is higher than ever, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy to get swept up and just drive yourself into burnout because of the challenges of today and what the expectations are and all of that, right? And that was one of the things I loved the most about being on my honeymoon and on the island is just in general, things are just a little more like, it's island time. If you get there late, whatever. Like, yeah. We're taking our time. And it's like the people that were driving fast everywhere, they were obviously tourists from off the island. Everybody else was like, whatever, just cut in front of me in traffic. I don't care. They're letting people in there. And I mean, this isn't like obviously just like across the board everywhere, but just that was the experience I had was like, oh, this isn't so like go, 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 go.
Yeah.
They just seem to be like a little more okay with like, if it doesn't happen or if it's not perfect, it's okay. We're just going to chill. And that's something we don't get as much here in our daily life when we're just in the grind, right?
Like, right, and it's a different speed, you might say.
And so we just have to be really careful because that's going to be the natural tendency in our country, in the world right now, is just go until you burn out because that's what the expectation is. And we have to start getting really good about identifying when we're getting way too close to that end point of burnout.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So talk to me a little bit more about some of these challenges that we're kind of facing in today's world that might be causing some of that.
Well, you know, I mean, the illustration you brought up, hey, on island, they have a little bit of a different speed, you know. And I think what's happening is that things in America right now are speeding up in a bad direction.
Right.
Okay. And I heard a phrase just recently that went like this: weak people create bad times. Bad times create strong people, and strong people create good times. Unfortunately, good times then create weak people, and weak people create bad times. So it's just a cycle.
Right.
And I think this is a cycle of history that we've seen over and over again. And as a salty pastor, my goal is to coach people up to grow spiritually so that they can be strong, think for themselves, and mature, prepared for anything that happens in the world, whether it be good times or bad times in their life. They overcome both in their influence. So just because your life is going great and you're making a lot of success and having a lot of overcoming and victory, maybe your company's great, your marriage is great, that doesn't have to turn you into a weak person, right? You can have victory over the down side effects of affluence very easily. You can become a very, very wealthy person and have your wits about you and take those dollars and invest them in really good things. And you can be an agent for the kingdom of God in ways that other people can't. What an awesome thing. Or you can make a lot of money, you can be just a selfish, narcissistic twit, you know? It could be one or the other. And so you can avoid that how? By being spiritually mature. That makes all the difference. You can have kids, and you can have a family, and you can get stressed out and not ascend to the role of providing and protecting your family and feel like you're losing out and get negative and cynical about your marriage and your parenting and your relationships. Or you could say, this is the greatest blessing of my life and I'm enjoying the ride. What makes a difference? Being mature.
Right.
Growing into maturity. So the thing is that You all can also, when you're strong and mature, avoid the bad times, because bad things will happen in your life. You know, if you lose a business, or one of your children gets sick, or your house burns down, you're not devastated. You know what I'm saying? If you get fired from a job, your dream job, it's not the end of your identity. All of these things are contingent upon the most important part of you as a person, that is, how mature are you growing? So that's what Salty Pastor wants to do, is help people grow into maturity. And so I think it's really critical that we are focused on that right now, because for a lot of reasons, and one of the biggest reasons why is because the direction of our nation is not good. You know, right now, I mean, I see three massive trends that are going to really cause a lot of stress in everybody's life in the next 20, 30 years. And the first one is that right now, it doesn't matter what letter is after your name, the leaders of our nation are destroying our nation. And what I mean by this is that our government is currently adding $1 trillion of debt every 100 days. Mm-hmm. So the amount of debt, what that basically means is that in this year alone, our government will pay $870 billion with a B in interest on that debt. And then next year, they're going to pay almost $1 trillion of interest only on that
debt.
Not
even on the principal.
Yeah. And then by 2035, which is 10 years from now, the interest on that debt is going to be $1.6 trillion, which is 50% of all the tax revenue of the federal government. Mm-hmm. So what that means is people are like, well, yeah, it doesn't affect me. Well, yeah, it does, because, as Milton Friedman said, is that inflation is the real tax that you pay. So if you were paying $1.80 for a gallon of milk at the grocery store 3 years ago, you're now paying $3.80. So you're not, has the milk changed? Is it coming out of a different cow? Is it shipped by a different truck? No. What has happened is that your government is taxing you through inflation $2 on every gallon of milk that you buy, in addition to all the other taxes that you pay. And people are not aware of that. Why is that a big deal? Well, because inflation goes up, 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 up. And that is not good. The other thing is that our nation is doing today, our leaders is doing, is the educational outcomes are so poor in America right now, and the complex of people who are leading this don't care about change. They say they are, but they demand more money. And even though the money invested in public education has tripled since 2000, educational outcomes have not changed at all. That has a long-term effect. It creates two classes of people: people who are educated and those who are not. Those who are not educated are easily swayed, easily manipulated, and then you start to get this mob rule that we've seen happen. The other thing is that because of inflation and lack of good education, how America works, lack of civics, the economy just gets worse and worse and worse. A bad economy hurts everybody. It really does. It's going to make your life more stressful. Are you ready for that? Are you going to be able to figure out how to stretch the dollars that you have? And are you able to put yourself in a position to whether you can live with a job or without a job? You know, are you ready for that? Because your life will get stressful if there's no income coming in. The other thing that I think that's happening in our nation that's a real trend is that secularism has pushed people away from God and has said you don't need God. And today there is a belief that God is irrelevant. And what this does is this creates more stress in your life, not less. In other words, what happens is because there's no reason for what we do, there's no objective foundation that keeps us together as a civilization, then there's more crime. There's more bad behavior. There's more corruption. These things don't help societies. It creates societal breakdown, which ends up being what? Stressful.
Mm.
The final thing that has happened in our society today that's going to cause a lot of stress in your life is the overt sexualization of children. You know, we had the sexual revolution was a consenting adult should be able to do whatever they want. Well, today, those consenting adults that do whatever they want are spending the majority of time recruiting future sexual partners. And they're doing this by sexualizing your children. And they're doing it through the public libraries, books in public schools, sexual standards of education in public schools. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I just read recently how a politician from a state back east, I'll let them remain nameless, said that the goal is that every child should go to a drag queen story hour, a drag queen performance, because it creates tolerance and acceptance. So when you have political leaders that believe this and are pushing this, it's going to create stress in your life as a parent. And so it's going to cause a lot of long-term effects. So I think learning how to grow into a stronger person, learning how to deal with stress is important, because our nation is going in a direction that's going to create more stress. Now, it doesn't have to burn you out. It doesn't have to control you or win or have victory over you. But you can only be ready for it if you're ready for it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Pastor, so much for sharing all of this insight on stress and burnout and how we should be looking for it, possible ways to deal with it. But just most of all, bring it to our attention, because it is something that I think is really easily swept under the rug. And today we just kind of accept it as, well, this is the normal, right? And it doesn't need to be. So
correct.
I think we need to be very focused on that, especially in the coming years, because things aren't going to get easier. So thank you so much for bringing it to the forefront. Make sure you guys tune in on Sunday as Pastor Doug talks about this in his message. And we'll see you next week here on the Salty Pastor Podcast with a potential special guest.
Ooh, sounds fun. Blessings.